In today's complex financial environment, many retirees are at a loss of exactly what to do. What retirement issues should you be considering? When it comes to your existing financial retirement strategy, have you really covered all of your bases? Are there any important retirement factors you have overlooked? Why spend another minute wondering? Call 303-710-3791 or visit ronkasky.com and get your free financial retirement kit. Dr. Ron Caskey's time and financial retirement kit is always provided at absolutely no cost. He offers a unique approach to a number of important items that you may want to consider when creating a sound retirement strategy for the days ahead. Your retirement is far too important to leave to chance. Call Dr. Ron Caskey at 303-710-3791 or visit ronkasky.com and get your free financial retirement kit today. The number again is 303-710-3791 or visit ronkasky.com now.
Hi, everybody. Dr. Ron Caskey here. Just a couple of minutes introduction to the Bible Views radio show. You can hear it in the KLTV listening audience every Sunday afternoon from 2 o'clock to 3 p.m. every Sunday. And then just like my Saturday Ron Caskey show, they're both archived over on my website at www.ronkasky.com. So that's R-O-N-C-A-S-K-E-Y. .com. Now, I'm inviting you to stay tuned to this one-hour show today, and what the Bible Views radio show, pretty normal standard operating procedure. I usually read some articles that pertain to your church, your household, to Christians, to homeschooling, things that affect our lives as Christians here in the United States. Then I go down some headlines that I get out of the Sword of the Lord every week that you're not going to get in the left-wing nut socialist media. And I read some of those headlines and describe some of those. I usually sing a song off of one of my albums. I've recorded 5 gospel albums, stereo albums, 50 songs. And I normally pull one of those off and play it, usually by about the start of the second segment of my Bible Views radio show. Then I invite you, if you're stationary, to grab a Bible and follow through with me in your Bible on what does the Bible have to say about financial freedom? What does the Bible have to say about investing? What does the Bible have to say about giving, lending, charging interest, paying interest, collecting interest? What is the Bible? See, there's 450 some odd verses in the Bible on wealth, riches, abundance, and prosperity. There's 15 on poverty. So I break that down every Sunday. I talk about Joseph, the first financial planner in the Bible. I talk about taking offerings, financing the church. Just all kinds of things, and it's all from the Bible. What does the Bible have to say about God's money? It's all God's money. So stay tuned. Thanks for listening. Welcome once again to the Bible Views radio show. I'm Dr. Ron Caskey. I'm your host. I'm here every week at this same time. This is the 21st of December, and that means Christmas is on Thursday of this week. And don't forget, it's Christmas. X belongs in Texas. Christ belongs in Christmas. So it's not Happy Merry Xmas. It's Merry Christmas, and that's coming up this Thursday when we celebrate the virgin birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's his birthday, and we've been doing it, actually, that's birthday is over 2,000 years ago. I haven't been celebrating it quite that long. But coming up on, I think this is number 82, I believe, Christmases. My eye guy I've been going to for some time. I've got macular degeneration and a couple of other problems. And he's just a young guy. And last time I was in there to see him, I was talking about my macular degeneration and so on. And he leaves and he comes back in the room and he said, "Really, your eyes have just had too many birthdays." I said, "Man, that's really diplomatic, son." And so, yeah, my eyes have had too many birthdays. Well, anyway, Merry Christmas to all of you. Now, understand, I'm open for appointments. You can call me this afternoon, starting appointments tomorrow. And I work every day right up till Christmas Eve and Christmas Day. I don't even answer the phone. New Year's Eve and New Year's Day, I don't even answer the phone. Outside of that, I work every day, Monday through Friday, ain't to faint and half a day on Saturday. And so feel free to call me this afternoon. Folks, I don't work on Sunday. Understand that. I get calls on Sunday and people want to talk about their business and so on. I'll schedule appointments for next week on Sunday afternoons, but that's about all I do on Sunday. It's the Lord's Day. And so anyway, glad to hear from you any other time. And starting this afternoon, when I'm not in church or doing something else, I'll answer the phone, schedule an appointment. Understand, whatever you're going to do in 2025, you best beat feet, because we've got about a week and a half left in this year. And so call me, get on my calendar, schedule a no-cost appointment in your home or your office, and I'll bring information to you. I'll tell you, I'll show you how to be a good steward of God's money. Folks, it's all God's money. And the Bible rate of interest in the book of Luke is 100% on your money, 100%. I have a product that doubles your money for 20 years, 10% a year for 20 years. Now understand, I can say it till I'm blue in the face. If you're planning on taking income out of your retirement money, that's the product for you. If you say, "I don't need the income, I'm just going to take the required minimum distributions and then I just want to build it up and pass it on," that product is not for you. I have a great accumulation products that's really good for building wealth and passing it on, emergency money if you need it, required minimum distributions if it's an IRA. But I'm telling you, listen, that one with the guaranteed 10%, the only way to get that 10% and take advantage of that is on the income account. And it'll pay you and your spouse lifetime income out to death or 120 years old. It's a great, there isn't anything else out there like it. And so give me a call. Let's talk about it. I'll bring the information to you. And then you can decide. 303-710-3791. Toll free is 877-218-1972. I'll give you those numbers again about five more times in the radio show today. So surely one of those you can write it down. I always read articles and headlines out of the Sword of the Lord on my Sunday radio show. And that's what I'm going to do right now. And then, if you're stationary, get your Bibles, because I've announced this. I do it every year, and I do a special message this Sunday for Christmas Sunday out of Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 14. And I've sharpened that up a little this year and added some to it, and so you'll want to stay tuned for that. So, noteworthy news in the Sword of the Lord. Publicly funded Tennessee University axes controversial art exhibit following conservative backlash. A publicly funded university in Tennessee has axed a controversial annual art exhibit following conservative backlash. Last November, exhibition pieces with strong politically driven themes targeting conservatives and Christians were displayed at East Tennessee State University, Reese Museum, eliciting intense opposition from conservative and Christian quarters. Well, duh. Some of the pieces in last year's Fletcher exhibit of social and politically engaged art included artwork that equated Nazi swastikas with Christian crosses and likened conservatives and Christians to Adolf Hitler. Well, that's what the Democrat, liberal, socialist, communist in America, they do that every day. And they're idiots. But the University of Tennessee said, no, we're not going to do that anymore. This February, the organizers of the exhibit learned that East Tennessee State University would no longer host the annual show, that the university's goals no longer aligned with the goals of the exhibit. Well, duh, we live in a Christian nation. The cross is a long ways from the swastika, and Christians are not Nazis. Which states are the worst at protecting religious freedom of ministries and faith groups? A new report highlights which states have laws and policies on the books that are the friendliest and most hostile to faith-based nonprofits. The Napa Legal Institute released its 2025 Faith and Freedom Index, which ranks each state on a scale of 0 to 100 based on its protections for religious nonprofit organizations. The states that ranked the lowest in religious freedom were Michigan, 22%, Vermont, 23%, Delaware, 25%, Washington, 26%, and Maryland, 27%. The Napa Legal Institute singled out Michigan and Washington as states that overburden and are even hostile toward faith-based nonprofits, which is churches and Christians. Alabama, 86%, Kansas, 79%, scored the highest in religious freedom category. Other states that rounded out the top five in religious freedom were Mississippi, 67%, this is the Bible Belt, Georgia, 67%, Bible Belt, Florida, 63%, Bible Belt. The Napa Legal Institute praised Alabama and Kansas for their exemplary protections for faith-based nonprofits that other states should emulate. I am surprised that the communist state of Colorado didn't rank in the ones that did not favor religious groups. Trans-identifying teen agrees to plead guilty to plotting Valentine's Day massacre. A trans-identifying teen accused of plotting a Valentine's Day massacre at an Indiana high school reportedly has agreed to plead guilty to conspiracy to commit murder. And then it goes on, gives his name and so on. Are change counseling bans killing people? Charlie Kirk's killer isn't the only gender-confused individual to act on his rage by killing people. A disturbing. By the way, I've got a lot of Mormon families who are clients of mine. I like them. I really do. Just because I disagree with their theology, they're good people. They're good, strong family people. And I know not to schedule Monday night appointments with a Mormon family, because that's family night. And I really do honor that. And yet there are some Christians who have accused this guy that killed Charlie Kirk, and they say he did it because he's a Mormon. No, just because I know people today that are raised in Christian homes and Baptist homes and Christian universities and so on that commit murder and everything else. So it has nothing to do with that kid's background in the Mormon church. I just want to go on record and tell you that. So a disturbing number of recent mass shootings have been conducted by queers. I'm quoting this. The Q in LGBTQ, that covers more than 550 paraphilias, whatever that is, including sexually identifying as transgendered. I can't even pronounce some of this nonsense. Non-binary, switching to male or female, and blah, blah, blah. Utah banned change counsel by executive order in 2021. See, when I pastored and built Christian schools full time, I still do it. I still counsel people. But every now and then, I'd have female transgenders or whatever they call them come in for counseling. They said, hey, we got saved. We can't do this anymore. Well, now it's against the law in a lot of places, and Utah are one, a state that banned change counsel in 2021. And then the ban was codified into law by the legislature and your governor in 2023. Christian change counseling has been repeatedly proven to heal gender dysphoria. Had those unlawful bans not been in place, the shooters, as well as their victims, might have been saved. And so there you go in the state of Utah. And I am surprised at that. Because like I said, I've got a lot of Mormon families and clients, and I like them. And they're strong family folks. Here's one more. Standing with Israel is not heresy. Let's be clear. Standing with Israel is not heresy. It's biblical orthodoxy. Christians who support Israel are not endorsing every decision of its government any more than they endorse every policy of their own. Rather, they recognize that God's prophetic promises move toward restoration, not rejection, multiplication, not subtraction. The same faithfulness that secures Israel's future guarantees our salvation in Jesus Christ. And I'll remind everybody that the nation that blesses Israel will be blessed. The nation that curses Israel will be cursed. And so heads up, Obama. Heads up, Biden. Heads up, Democrats. Heads up, all of you universities that are anti-Semites and ridicule the Jews. So I stand for God's chosen people. Time's up. Call me 303-710-3791. Toll free is 877-218-1972. Call me this afternoon for a no-cost appointment this coming week. Now, stay tuned. I will be right back.
Walter J. Hopp of Hopp & Associates is a law practice limited to estate and business planning. Walter is a Colorado native with extensive experience with clients local and nationwide, and is a former partner in a large multi-state estate planning law firm, affiliated with several professional groups to provide the most current and unique solutions for his clients. Walter is the author of articles and a book on estate planning, and a frequent speaker over the years to lawyers and groups alike. Again, on estate planning, Walter offers a unique approach for how to protect yourself and loved ones from a litigious and expensive legal system. And listen to this, your first meeting with Walter is free, that's right, free, to see if they can improve on planning that you may already have in place. Call Walter and Associates PC of Longmont, Call today, 303-776-4045, or email him at walterhopp@hopplaw.org.
Well, hi, everybody. Dr. Ron Caskey jumping in here just for 60 seconds to tell you about orphan 401ks. I've been talking about that for several weeks, did a couple of webinars on it. If you have left a job and left a 401k behind, that is an orphan 401k that no one cares about, no one's contributing to, no one's matching your money, and if you leave it there long enough, the fees will destroy that orphan 401k. So we can move that into an IRA annuity. It's just a matter of paperwork, a transfer form, and get it out of there into something that'll grow for you. Call me for a no-cost appointment in your home or your office. Here's my number, 303-710-3791. Do it today. Don't put it off. Welcome back to my second segment of today's Bible Views radio show. We're going to save the rest of those articles and headlines out of the Sword of the Lord for next week. And I want to sing my favoriteest Christmas song of all time. I sing it every year. And I'm sang that for this morning's Bible Views newsletter. Goes up on Facebook. If you want a CD just on this song, I have those separate from my five albums that I've recorded over the years. So if you want that, I'll send it out to you. So just to set the tone for Luke 2, 1 through 14, here's my favorite song of Christmas, and it's O Holy Night. Well, hi, everybody. Dr. Ron Caskey here, wishing you a happy, good Sunday morning, and of course, Merry Christmas. You realize X belongs in Texas, Christ belongs in Christmas. So Merry Christmas to all of you. Here's my favoriteest Christmas song, O Holy Night. The stars are brightly shining. This is the night of our dear Savior's birth. Long lay the world in sin and error pining, till He appears and the soul felt its worth. A thrill of hope, the weary world rejoices, for yonder breaks a new and glorious morn.
For the slave is our brother. of joy. In grateful chorus raise we, let all within us praise His holy name.
Go, oh holy night. You know, you've heard me say this before. I say it every year. When we celebrate Christmas, we told the kids 40-ish years ago, we said, we're going to celebrate Christmas here at our house on Christmas Eve. All of you who can, come. And normally we have 29 people, usually, on Christmas Eve. And we usually start around 4 o'clock, four-ish, and we have snacks, and then we gather around in the fireplace in our big room, and we pass out gifts from under the Christmas tree, and everybody sits down, everybody shuts their phones off, and I quote from memory Luke 2, 1 through 14, the Christmas story, and then I pray and thank God for the blessings of the year and so on. Thank the Lord for these gifts that we're about to exchange. And then in my prayer and in Luke 2, 1 through 14, I remind the kids and the grandkids and now two great-grandkids of why we are here, why we celebrate Christmas. And I tell the kids, I said, and I hand the Bible to usually one of our older grandsons, and he follows along and makes sure I keep on track. And when I get all done, he gives me a thumbs up. And I said, now, if I ever can't do that by memory, y'all just well plan my funeral, because that means my mind's gone and I'm gone and I'm headed home. So anyway, I always do that. And so I wanted to break that down for you today, Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 14. And I headlined kind of this segment today with When Heaven Broke Into a Taxed Out World. When Heaven Broke Into a Taxed Out World, Luke 2, 1 through 14. So the theme of this chapter is Rome is flexing its tax muscle. Caesar thinks he's in charge. People are tired and broke. And in the middle of all of that, God sends the richest gift ever given, wrapped in poverty and laid in a manger. See, you and I live today in a world of Caesar decrees, tax bills, and government overreach. And Luke 2 reminds us that while Caesar is counting heads, God is counting hearts. So let's break this down, verses 1 through 5, when Caesar thinks he's in charge. And you just think about our government. They think they're in charge. They're not. God is. And so Luke 2, I quote verses 1 through 5, and it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so, every December, we get reminded of Christmas. Every April, we get reminded of taxes. And Luke chapter 2 opens with both of those. So, let's break it down. The decree from Caesar Augustus. Rome issues this decree that all the world should be taxed. This was about money and control, just like our overreaching government today. Counting people so you can count revenue. That's why Vladimir O. Biden had wide open borders so that all of those people could come in and their votes, every one of them. And so they're thinking, okay, they can vote and then they get, some of them get jobs and so on. And it's just all about counting the money. And so today, governments still love to number the people so they can number the dollars. So we have in Luke 2, especially 1 through 14, man's plan versus God's plan. So let's look at it. On the surface, this is Caesar flexing his power. Behind the scenes, this is God moving the world to get Joseph and Mary to Bethlehem. Exactly where? Micah 5:2 says in where he would be born. Micah 5:2 says, "And thou Bethlehem Ephratah." And that's where Jesus was born. So you can look at this. Caesar's thought he was raising revenue when in reality God was fulfilling prophecy. And that's what I covered last week, Isaiah and Micah and Psalms and so on, prophesying the birth of the Lord Jesus. And I say it all the time. If you have a revised standard version of the Bible, which the Southern Baptists came out with, I don't know, 50, 60, 70 years ago, whatever it was, and Isaiah 7:14, in that so-called translation, it's a perversion of Scripture. It says a young woman, not a virgin. And you should not only run, Forrest, run, you should burn that sucker because that's blasphemy. If Jesus wasn't born of a virgin, he too needed a Savior. And so that was prophesied, and it says, "Behold, a virgin shall give birth." And that was, of course, Mary. And oh, by the way, for some of you who worship Mary and pray to Mary and count beads to Mary, she was simply the mother of Jesus. The Bible says there's one mediator between God and man, and that's not the man in Rome. That's the man, Christ Jesus. It's not the woman that carried the baby Jesus. That's Jesus. There is one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. So let's look at a financial application here. You people feel the weight of taxes and inflation and government programs that never seem to go away and only grow. And God's not surprised by any of it. Even when politicians are playing games in the district of criminals, God can overrule for his purposes in your home. So Joseph was a working man, a blue collar carpenter. He was a contractor. He's not in the palace. He's just obeying the law and trying to care for his family. God often does his biggest work through ordinary people. That's all I work with. I don't work with grouchy people. I don't work with snobby people. Once in a while, I work with rich people. But normally, my business is with just ordinary, hardworking men and women. And so God often does his biggest work through those kind of people, ordinary people who simply obey him in the middle of Caesar's chaos. And so you ever get a letter from the Internal Revenue Service and your stomach tightens up? Imagine the whole Roman Empire getting that letter, that message. So we're counting you so we can tax you. That's what Caesar says, and that's what the District of Criminals say. And so Luke 2 opens with that, but God was already here, and he was ahead of it. My time's up. Call me 877-218-1972. Call me this afternoon for a no-cost appointment coming up this week. We'll wrap this up when I come back. Well, hi, everybody. Dr. Ron Caskey jumping in here just for 60 seconds to tell you about orphan 401ks. I've been talking about that for several weeks, did a couple of webinars on it. If you have left a job and left a 401k behind, that is an orphan 401k that no one cares about, no one's contributing to, no one's matching your money, and if you leave it there long enough, the fees will destroy that orphan 401k. So we can move that into an IRA annuity. It's just a matter of paperwork, a transfer form, and get it out of there into something that'll grow for you. Call me for a no-cost appointment in your home or your office. Here's my number, 303-710-3791. Do it today. Don't put it off.
Walter J. Hopp of Hopp & Associates is a law practice limited to estate and business planning. Walter is a Colorado native with extensive experience with clients local and nationwide, and is a former partner in a large multi-state estate planning law firm. Affiliated with several professional groups to provide the most current and unique solutions for his clients, Walter is the author of articles and a book on estate planning, and a frequent speaker over the years to lawyers and groups alike. Again, on estate planning, Walter offers a unique approach for how to protect yourself and loved ones from a litigious and expensive legal system. And listen to this, your first meeting with Walter is free. That's right, free. To see if they can improve on planning that you may already have in place, call Walter and Associates PC of Longmont. Call today, 303-776-4045, or email him at walterhopp@hopplaw.org.
All right, welcome back to my third and final segment. My goodness, during that break, I was looking at my notes here, and I'm just through the first five verses of Luke chapter 2. We got to run. Here's my numbers. Call me this afternoon, 303-710-3791. Toll free is 877-218-1972 for a no-cost appointment in your home or your office. I just covered verses 1 through 5 and talked about when Caesar thinks he is in charge, God has another plan. So just to wrap up that section, so while politicians were counting heads, God was about to count something far more important, which is and was the birth of his only begotten son in a place nobody expected. So, Luke chapter 2, verses 6 and 7, and it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And I could get sidetracked right here and concentrate on this verse right here is why a lot of people think Jesus was poor. He wasn't poor. He was rich. His family was rich. They were hardworking people. He's the Son of God. He was not poor. But they think because he was born in a manger. Hello. The Bible says the Holiday Inn was full, people, and all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. Poor, broke people didn't have any reason to go to Bethlehem to be taxed. And so let's put that to bed. So no room in the inn, but room in God's plan. And when the days were accomplished, Mary brings forth her firstborn son, wrapped in swaddling clothes, laid in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And so the timing of God, as the days were accomplished, God's timing is always perfect. It doesn't always, and most of the time, doesn't coincide with our timing, but it coincided with God's timing. Not early, not late, but right in the middle of pressure and travel and overcrowding in the city, God's timing brought forth Mary's firstborn son. No room in the inn. The world today is full and busy and booked up. Look around. I say this all the time. I preached this funeral for a lady I've known for 50 years. And I talked about no hope. Paul said, we sorrow not as others who have no hope. That's why there's so much chaos and so many psychiatrists needed today, if you're so inclined, because those people have no hope. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and his righteousness. And so the world is full and busy and booked up. There's no room for Jesus. And before Charlie Kirk was assassinated by that kid, church attendance was down. Now church attendance is back up. Bible sales are up. Bible clubs are opening up by the thousands because Charlie Kirk reached more people in his death than he ever did in his life. And so there's no room for Jesus in people's schedules, no room in budgets for anything but debt service and impulse spending, and no room in priorities for the Lord. So no room in the inn. God's timing was perfect. The humility of Christ's birth. He was born in a manger. And the manger, these nativity scenes are totally 100% wrong. The manger is not two rails on each end of rails in the middle full of hay. That is not where Jesus was born. The manger was a trough hewn out of a rock that they fed the animals out of. That was the birthplace of Jesus, a feeding trough cut out of a rock. Swaddling clothes, simple wrappings, not royal robes. And we read in 2 Corinthians 8, 9, though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. So the richest person in the universe stepped into that manger, into poverty briefly, so we could be spiritually rich. So what's that say about value? God did not measure value by the size of the building, the thread count of the sheets, or the brand name over the door. He measured value by who was there in that manger. That was his son. So your house may not impress the neighbors. You know what? I could care less. We live in a nice house, but we bought it because it happened to fit our need and the price was right. And a friend of mine owned it and we moved in 13 years ago, but we didn't buy this house for a status symbol. We bought it because it's functional and it's nice. But see, God can put you in an impressive house, but he doesn't do it to impress the neighbors. But if Christ is at the center of it, heaven calls it rich. So We often think, if I had more money, then I could serve God. The manger says, serve God with what you have right now. See, some people say, well, I'll tithe when I have $1 million. No, if you don't tithe on $10, you won't tithe on $1 million. And God only invests in banks he can trust. And that's people that tithe first on the first fruits of all thine increase. The tithe is the Lord's. Read Malachi 3, about 8 through 10. It says, if you don't tithe and give offerings, you're a thief and a robber and a criminal. And you say, wherein have we robbed God? I'm quoting. Wherein have we robbed God? And he said, in tithes and offerings. So after my financial messages on my Bible Views radio show, and people say, well, how's come I have more month than money? I can tell you 100% of the time, check your giving record, because it's your giving record that affects the fact that you don't have more money than month. Because God says, try me on. See if I don't come through. Prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I'll not open to you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that you don't have room enough to receive. So, if I had more money, then I'd serve God. No, you wouldn't. The manger says, serve God with what you have right now. A simple home, a modest income, a small church. God can use humble circumstances when he is present. So understand, you compare where we live with a mansion and plenty of money and so on. Those people, have, for the most part, have no peace, no Bible, no Savior. I'd rather live in a tent, but be born again and having God in my life. All right? So, from the manger, heaven swings the camera out to a field full of shepherds, and we find out what God really gets excited about. So, let's wrap this up in the 4 minutes that I've got left. Luke 2, 8 through 14, and there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. He's talking to the shepherds. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. So we have the good tidings of great joy. Heaven's view of real riches. Shepherds in the field, the angel of the Lord said, good tidings of great joy. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Wall Street has its bells. Rome had its decrees. But when Christ was born, heaven sent an angel choir to a group of blue-collar shepherds. I'm just trying to bring this down to where we live, folks. He didn't choose kings and queens and presidents and so on to deliver this message. It was a choir of angels speaking to simple shepherds in a field, blue-collar workers, if you please, to discover the virgin birth of Jesus Christ. So who gets the announcement? Not Caesar, not the high priest, not the rich merchants in Jerusalem. Shepherds, outdoors, working the night shift, smelling like sheep. God put eternal news into the ears of ordinary workers. Down where we live, folks, God's not impressed with titles. God's not impressed with portfolios. God's not impressed with positions. He looks at the heart that's ready to hear and to obey. I'm just trying to bring this down to where we live, folks. This is the meat of the Christmas story. Not wealth and riches. However, God's people are expected to have wealth and riches. But understand, he works through the simple, hardworking people, not through people who think they're important, like CEOs and corporate whoop-de-doos and stockholders and so on. No, he worked through the simple shepherds working the night shift out in the field. And so understand, here's the message. He said, fear not. The first word out of the angels' mouths was fear not. See, we live in a culture full of financial fear. I see it every day. People are afraid, will I outlive my money? Will Social Security? I get this question all the time. Well, I'm just not sure Social Security is going to be there. God will be. Yeah. What happens if the market crashes? You know what? I don't care if the market crashes, because my money isn't in the stock market. If yours is, be afraid, son. Be very afraid, because it can go away. God says, fear not. And he brings us good tidings of great joy. And unto you is born this day a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. The greatest news here in this story, it's not market rallies. It's not a new tax plan. It's not a new product. The greatest news is a Savior has been born. And so heaven celebrates the glory of God, the peace with God on earth, goodwill toward men, forgiveness of sin, peace with God through Jesus Christ, a home in heaven that no recession can touch. And so Matthew 6, 19 to 21, don't have time to read it all, but lay up treasures in heaven. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Don't let Christmas just be a spending season and a stress season. Make it a stewardship season. Put Christ first in your giving. Teach your children and grandchildren to do that. And understand we're all sinners. We all need to be saved. That'd be a great gift to give your family this year. If you're not saved, give me a call. I can help you with that. 303-710-3791. Toll free is 877-218-1972. Hey, have a Merry Christmas. Thanks for listening. Bye. Well, hi, everybody. Dr. Ron Caskey here. You know, people go to Las Vegas, Cripple Creek, Central City, whatever, and they say, if I pull this handle one more time, surely I'll win. People get off the airplanes all happy. They get back on the same airplane 3 days later, all sad. My point in saying that is the market will not sustain highs. It goes up and it goes down. So I'm suggesting that you don't wait until the market tanks to get your money changed over to a safety net. That's where I come in. I do everything with indexed annuities where the risk is on the life insurance company instead of on your shoulders. I do it all with indexed annuities and life insurance. So if you're interested in capturing the upside of the market with none of the downside risk, I'm the guy you want to talk to. And my time never costs you a penny, ever. All you got to do is pick up the phone, call me, get on my calendar, and I'll bring the information to you. Here's my numbers. Call me now. Don't put it off. Don't wait until the market tanks. 303-710-3791. Toll free is 877-218-1972. Pick up the phone right now. Get on my calendar. Don't put it off. 877 218-1972. Again, my name's Dr. Ron Caskey. My time doesn't cost you a penny ever. Call me now. Thanks. Bye. Well, there you go. Bible Views Radio Show for today. Hope you enjoyed it, listening to it as much as I enjoy every week doing these one-hour radio shows. The Ron Caskey Show is here on the KLTT listening audience 1 to 2 o'clock on Saturdays, and this Bible Views Radio Show every Sunday 2 to 3 p.m. on Sunday afternoons. And then, of course, they're archived for 1 week. They're put up on my website at www.roncaskey.com. If you have questions concerning the Bible and what the Bible has to say about any subject, actually, just understand this. I don't debate or argue the Bible. See, a lot of people say, well, God said it. I believe it. That settles it. I got news for you. God said it. That settles it. And speaking of settle it, let me just explain to you the most important thing you could call me about is your salvation. Do you know if you died today that you'd go to spend eternity with the Lord Jesus Christ? If you're not sure of that, by all means, pick up the phone today and call me, and I'll tell you what the Bible says, and it's real simple, but you do need to be born again. You need to be saved. Once we settle that matter of salvation, then we can talk about God's money and how you can protect it, preserve it, and grow it. Now, to do that, you need to get on my calendar for next week. I know it's Sunday. I don't take appointments on Sunday. I don't work this business on Sunday. But I can answer my cell phone. And so if I'm not in church or doing something else this afternoon, then pick up the phone and call me this afternoon or this evening. But one thing you do need to do is set an appointment for this coming week. Give me 30-ish minutes to bring information to you and your spouse, if there is one, at your home or McDonald's, and show you how I can help you protect, preserve, and grow God's money. Here's my toll-free number. As I said, you can use it today, and I'll call you back. Here it is, 877-218-1972. 877-218-1972. Hey, have a blessed Lord's Day. Thanks for listening. See you next week. Bye.